Jam!
Hello again, and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTGcast Network. I am Chewy, and it's warm in my apartment.
Toasty!
So now I have to uppercut you so I can fight a reptile, right?
I mean, if that's what you want to fight, I don't recommend it.
Wait, is that what you had to do when you saw Toasty? No, Toasty popped up when you uppercutted. I don't remember what you have to do.
When Toasty happens?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is Mortal Kombat 1, and then I think it came back for 2?
It was also in 2.
I can't remember.
I think in 2 you use it to fight Jade.
And I don't remember. I know that he was in 3, but I have no idea if it did anything.
Smoke.
Smoke was in 2 or 3?
I believe this is 2. On the portal stage, players pressed down and start while Dan's face was on the screen. That's the guy who says Toasty.
Down and start. Yeah, it was Dan Forden, the sound designer, I think.
Yes. Then they could qualify to face Smoke.
Yeah. But, and he would only pop up after an uppercut or a really awesome move. In the first one, at least.
Particularly vicious uppercut.
I don't even think it was the first one. I think it was just 2. To fight Reptile, you had to do something
else.
It's just 2. Yeah.
Well, Reptile in 1 was special end boss crap.
Yeah, it was... To actually get to Reptile was amazingly hard. Anyway, so yeah, hi, this is Mortal Kombat Cast. Monday Night Combat. No, wait, you can't Monday Night Combat because that's an actual game. Whoops.
Combat Night Magic.
Yeah.
We're talking about the original Atari game Combat. This is our 562nd episode discussing Combat.
Well, we did have those 2 episodes about Adventure.
That's true.
And the one about E.T.
Yeah, but that was really a special and wasn't counted in the same.
April Fool's doesn't count.
Yeah, okay. The E.T. episode was April Fool's. Anyway, so I'm Chewy. Sorry
about
that.
Hi, Chewy.
Clues is the guy with the bow tie.
Hey, I want to offer a special welcome to residents in southeastern Los Angeles County and parts of northern Orange County in California.
You're really working off that episode number, aren't you?
Yeah, it's 562 area.
To the 562. And also, Squee is here. He's the goblin.
Woo! I survived a con.
Yeah, you did.
Better than like half the Star Trek leads, right?
And then you played Overwatch with me.
Yeah.
Awesome. So.
Loot box.
Let's, I guess we should dive into, there's a lot of modern to talk about because modern.
Modern.
Yeah, I am the modern man. Secret.
Got a secret.
Yeah. Didn't expect that, did you? Kilroy.
No, I did not expect that. I did not.
Excellent.
Thank
so
you,
we
though.
Had 2 modern Grand Prix this weekend, and the Star City Open was also modern. So just modern, and nobody was in Charlotte. How about that?
That's next week.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So in Copenhagen, which is in Denmark, I knew that one, there were 1,815 people playing in the modern main event.
That's a good number of people.
Is this Copenhagen? This is Copenhagen, yeah. And, again, as always, apologies for name mispronunciation,
Wow, that's meta.
That is his dedication to.
That was terrible.
Mispronunciation.
Also.
Misappropriation.
Yes. Apologies for name misappropriation. Also, these deck lists are not in order.
Oh, and we sincerely apologize for getting a name correct. I think it was last week.
Oh. Really?
We did, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. We heard about it on Twitter.
Okay, these decks are almost in order. Second,
decks
third, or just backwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
So close.
It looks like the winner was Mattia Rizzi, who was playing Grixis Shadow, which, yeah, it's modern, so that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
This deck, it just looks just brutal. Like, I don't play modern, I don't know modern, but just looking at these decks, this deck and thinking about how it works, buh.
Yeah, it's a no deck.
It's a no deck.
Your opponent tries to do something and you say no. Oh. Not even counter spells. It's like, oh, well, I have this creature. No, you don't. Oh. Well, then I have this card in my hand. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
What can I do? Take 12.
Take 12. Yeah.
take 12. Or die to the zombie fish?
Zombie fish.
Om nom brains. Blub, 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 blub.
So yeah, that's first place. Nice and, normal. This is third place. In second place, Christian Ortiz Ros was playing Living End. Check out that Horror of the Broken Lands in there.
Huh. Four of them.
Yeah.
Oh, look at his head.
Yeah, and he's not a demon.
No. Yeah, it's just straight up horror.
He's a horror, but he's the 4/4 for 5, a common from Amonkhet. Whenever you cycle or discard another card, he gets Unholy Strength until end of turn. +2/+1, and he cycles himself.
So on the one hand, I kind of want to get a closer look at this artwork. On the other hand, I don't want to get a closer look at this artwork.
Those are, yeah, that sounds about right.
His head is strange.
I wonder, Horror of the Broken Lands. Image search. Oh, there it is.
Oh, do we have it?
Yeah, hang on, let me get a link for you. I'll even put it in the show notes.
Ye olde show notes.
Oh, yeah, that face does not get better as I zoom in on it.
It really doesn't. There you go.
Oh, that's not right.
He's got a glowing tummy, though. Yes, he does.
He's a good boy.
He got inked on. Yeah, looking at his head, I just sort of wonder how miserable, like, horror mom had it. Just
is he
bad.
Wearing a chainmail skirt?
He can't it's wear called a coin skirt.
He can't really wear a shirt because, you know, look at that head, so.
Yeah, it's yeah. True. Getting his shirt
maybe
on.
Maybe a button up. He could have a button up.
Button up.
That's but that would get in the way of his sweet rune tat.
That is true.
Oh, I like the detail. His hand is on a skull. I didn't notice that until we saw the bigger version.
Yeah.
The thing is, the guy at the tattoo parlor told him that that totally said strength, and it does not.
It in fact says dental floss.
It does.
Anyway.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to derail us, but
that was pretty good.
I'm glad I did. Okay.
But this is your normal Living End deck with all of your guys that cycle and your Living End and your Beast Within and your 2 cascade spells. Well, 8 cascade spells to actually cast Living End. But the Horror of the Broken Lands, I don't actually know what he's here for. Cause you...
To get big when you cycle things.
I guess if he's for the second Living End, like what? Cause you cycle all your dudes. And then you cast Demonic Dread, which gets you Living End, and they all come back. And then what? Like, I guess when you draw another one, you just cycle it to pump him up? I guess?
I think he's there because the deck can't do anything at the start due to the costing problem with Cascade. So he fixes your draw, probably.
Right, and you've got to cycle some stuff into the graveyard before the Living End is useful. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, everything... cycles in this deck. That's
yeah, but I mean,
point.
Look, if you're going to cycle something and you're just going to get a dude back, why not just have a 4/4 that you can cycle for a single black?
I guess.
Like, creature whose entire thing is big vanilla, who happens to get bigger, which is pretty much his deal is whatever, but it doesn't interfere with this other stuff, and situationally can just wreck stuff. I don't think there's a big trick to it.
Yeah, I guess he's there as another dude that you cycle for one, and then he's got additional upside when he's on the battlefield.
Also, I think that his tat actually does say Big Vanilla.
Gotta love those Big Vanilla tats.
Just gonna put that in the show notes.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Okay, so that's the Living End deck. In third place, Kim Stroh is a terrible person. I mean, is playing Lantern Control. Yeah. Good old Lantern Control.
Nah.
Would you like game one to take 4 hours? Well, tough. There's a,
too time. Bad.
But would you like to have a game two? You would. Oh well.
I hope you're playing aggro.
Yeah. But hey, you know. If it works, it works. And look, third place. So
it works pretty well.
Yeah, it seems good. Even though it's terrible.
I'm not willing to say that.
Yeah. So let's go to... Yeah, fourth place where Martin Mueller is running Storm.
Compliance!
Yes, good old Beryl. Chief of Compliance.
He is words I can't say on Monday Night Magic.
Blue?
No, he can say that.
Can I?
There are just other words that usually go with it. Those he can't say.
I mean, blue is a four-letter word in the Clues household.
It is.
And everyone else's.
I was going to say blue is always a four-letter word in English. So yeah, this is your normal modern Storm deck. Nothing really to see here. So moving on, in fifth place, Tinu Halonen is running Titan Shift. Check out that singleton.
Are they Chandra like Titanfall?
That's how they came in, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Like a Titanfall.
I'm letting that one float.
I appreciate that. It actually threw me off, and I'm the one that said it. So, yeah, it's got the one Chandra and then your normal, I mean, Titan Shift stuff. It's, in case you're wondering, it's Scape Shift with Primeval Titan. Yeah.
You want lands?
I mean, there are 27 of them.
Did I ever tell you how I got these lands? Titan Shift. Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's running, like, it's really funny that you can Summoner's Pact for a, wait. What is Summoner's Pact in here for? Just to go get your prime time, I guess? Hang on. I've never actually seen this deck in action, so I'm very sorry.
Alright, Summoner's Pact.
Yeah, so, I mean, it gets a green creature and puts it into your hand.
It does go get you the prime time if you don't have it.
But there's nothing that, like, cheats it out.
I think you're able to pay for it if you can get the prime time out.
What's the point? Like, Summoner's Pact costs zero, but prime time still costs six. So,
Yeah, you're just getting it. Like, you can pay for it. Fair enough. Not getting it to you early. I mean, I guess technically, sure, you go and you get the Wood Elves or the Sakura Tribe Elder.
Oh, it's not getting it for you early. It's getting it so you've got it. There we go.
It's just consistency.
Just a tutor.
In my brain, Summoner's Pact is there to cheat something out and then do something busted with it. But in this deck, it doesn't do that. It just gets it.
Yeah.
Right. That's where the block
is. It's functioning as intended rather than as a, all right, now copy this and you lose. Or some other nonsense.
Yeah. Or now that I've got this, I win.
Yeah.
It's just an actual tutor. Got it. Okay. We're good now.
Do you think that Sakura Tribe Elder takes the bus?
Ask Steve.
Steve, look around. Is there a snake shaman?
Is there a snake shaman? Yes. I'll put that
snake shaman comment.
So that's that. In sixth place, we have Remy LeFrancois running Dredge. And look, Dredge in Modern.
Huh. Dun, dun, dun.
Even though Homeboy is no longer legal. Oh, this deck is dead. Nope. Golgari Thug. Keep running. Keep going. Grave Troll. Just that's the one. Flying. I'm like, what's his name? The one that's gone now. Grave Troll. Yeah. But this deck still does the same. I do like the one Rally the Peasants in there. Because flashback, you die. Nice. In...
Haunted Dead.
What was that? Haunted Dead. Oh, yeah, there's the one Haunted Dead just hanging out.
You want to discard some cards? We can do it.
In seventh place, Michael Steineck, let's say, is running this Counters Company deck.
And how?
Which has the Vizier of Remedies Devoted Druid combo that we mentioned briefly last week. I think it was last week.
Yeah.
Which is just all the mana. Like, actually all the mana.
Yeah, you get sufficient mana.
Also Kitchen. I think we missed last week that it was an infinite combo because my brain inserted a tap symbol on that ability. Like, I misread Devoted Druid. Because we talked about how it made infinite life with Kitchen Finks.
Yeah.
And
so
that sort of thing.
Devoted Druid, actually, way back in the time, was part of a limited combo as well. Because you had the Quill Spike.
Wait, which one?
It was like Quill Spike, I think. Because Quill Spike had, you know, pay a black or green, remove a -1/-1 counter from creature you control. Quill Spike gets +3/+3 till end of turn. So you could use the black or green created by that to make an infinitely large Quill Spike in limited really easily.
Yeah. Quill Spike. When you said Quill Spike, my brain went to Quietest Spike, which is
nobody uses
and
that.
And I'm like, huh? Yeah, Quill Spike was the little, it's like a 0/1 or a 1/2 or something stupid.
It's a 1/1.
It's a 1/1, okay.
It's 1/1 for 2 and then a black-green hybrid.
Yeah.
But you could essentially play a Quill Spike after you play a devoted druid. So turn two devoted druid, turn three cool spike, turn four UN, unless they have, you know, blockers or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, infinitely large cool spike.
Yeah. And that was not a hard thing to do because.
No, this is two commons.
I would say they're both common, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I drafted entire decks that just did that. Yeah. It was messed up. It was messed up.
Yeah. So what does this deck do with infinite mana?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying Cronus. To figure out. I mean.
Court of Calling.
Court of Calling, having infinite mana doesn't actually do anything but let you get
stuff.
Yeah, I was going
to say, there's nothing big to go
Cronus,
get. You can
Cronus
just go
the
get
Indomitable
combo piece.
Gets you infinite sized trampler.
That's true.
Yeah, it will.
You've also got Duskwatch Recruiter.
Yeah, I was just looking at Duskwatch Recruiter going,
Because, you know, you've got infinite mana, so.
Yeah, you can dig forever.
Like, dig a dude out and then cast it, and then dig a dude out and then cast it.
Seems good.
Like, there's a lot of crap going on here.
Yeah. But it's also the, essentially the Podless Pod deck, or what became the Podless Pod deck, that has eventually transformed into something like this, which has eventually transformed into this version, obviously, because that's what we're talking about. Yay.
And Duskwatch Recruiter has transformed.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then in eighth place, we have Gunnar Geisler running Death Shadow. And this is a, essentially the zoo deck with Death Shadow. As opposed to the winning deck, which was more of a, it's like a Delverless Delver blue-black Grixis deck that has Death Shadow in it. This is a, what's this? Four-color insanity with zoo. It's four-color zoo with Death Shadow. So, yeah. Four-color because of the Renegade Rallier, who is,
wrong.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Here it's pretty good.
In this deck, it's pretty messed up.
So yeah, there you go. There is your top eight. Were those eight different decks? They were, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those two shadow decks are not.
Yeah, Grixis Shadow and the Death Shadow here are not the same deck.
Yeah, they're not remotely similar. So yeah, eight different decks in the top eight. A quick run through 9 through 36. We've got, four color Scape Shift. The kind without, what's the big guy? Primetime. Another Death Shadow deck that's closer to this zoo deck, but has two different Lilianas in it. And Ranger of Eos. Ooh, damn! Eldrazi Tron. More Dredge. More Death Shadow. Ooh, more Living End. Oh, this one's running the Archfiend of Ifnir. Ooh! Holy crap! And also Desert Ceridon from Amonkhet. Ooh! Look at those new cards getting in there. Let's see, more Shadow. It looks like Shadow is like the main boogeyman. Oh, here's Martin Juza running Elves with the Devoted Druid Vizier of Remedies combo. Doo-doo, more Dredge. Oh, here's a Burn deck in 19th place. Oh, that's a thing of beauty. More Dredge, Titan Shift, more Burn. You happy yet, Clues?
yeah, you know, there's a little too much Dredge, but okay.
Well, how about,
that's what the Burn is for.
How about Modern Death and Taxes in 24th?
Oh.
It's running Elspeth Sun's Champion, Gideon of the Trials, a bunch of things that when they
Gideon
enter
the
battlefield.
Sun Titan.
Do what?
Gideon of the Trials and Sun Titan.
Yup.
Oh.
Yup.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Also, Crucible of Worlds. Oh my
sure.
God, it's running Emeria the Sky Ruin.
Yeah.
This deck looks amazing!
It's even running the Irrigated Farmland for cycling.
I must send this to Mike, like right now. Dude, did you see this? Hey, what else is there, you guys? While I send this real quick.
What, in this deck?
Yeah, no, in the top whatever.
We got some Jeskai Copycat.
Yeah, the cat's still alive there.
Yeah, not banned yet.
Zaheli and Felidar Guardian just chilling.
Crazy cat lady.
And a Vindiclick.
Nobody likes you, Vindiclick. Get the hell out.
Well, you know.
But it's a Vindiclick with a Felidar Guardian.
Yeah, nobody likes you.
Ew.
Vindiclick.
Vindiclick and Felidar Guardian don't do anything. Well, I guess they sort of do.
I mean, you get to mess with hands.
True, okay, fair enough.
I mean, it's not a great, it's just like, oh, that's there too.
Yeah.
I guess it matters more like Saheeli and Vendiclick. You've got a lot of options here.
Yeah. But hey, if you're really sad that you can't play it in Standard, well, it made top 32 in Modern, so... So let's see, there's another
Counter's Company. Yeah, in 26th. Did the other one have Linvala, Keeper of Silence, in it?
I don't think so, but I wasn't looking.
I don't think I saw Linvala in there before.
She was one of the earliest mythics that I opened.
That's a good one to open.
She is not here.
Okay, just curious.
Hey, look, more burn.
Yes.
Wait, what else is different here? Oh, there's Renegade Rallier in this deck. I don't remember if there's a Rallier in the other one, but there should be if there wasn't.
In Burn?
No, in the Counter's Company
deck. That'd be weird.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense, because I was very confused.
Weren't you?
Still am.
Let's see. Is he running... Yeah, he doesn't have Renegade... Michael Stenek in the top 8 does not have Renegade Rallier. Or, Oh, he's got Linvala in the board. What's the one I just said? Walking Ballista's not in this deck either, which for Infinite Mana, you'd think there'd be a Walking Ballista, you know? Okay, sorry, keep going. My bad. I'm just fascinated.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were still going. We got some Eldrazi Tron in 28th. Ooh, Elves in 29th.
More Elves, look at that.
I still like Elves.
Oh, look, Jund.
Huh.
Good old Jund. It's that deck in Modern that's just never gonna go away. It's just always gonna be there. It's either gonna be a huge part of the meta or lurking, but it'll just never go away.
Jund them out.
Oh, look, more Lantern.
And the 31st place deck is still playing.
That's the Lantern for those that aren't looking. More Titan Shift, more Burn.
Yes.
More Counter's Company, a Titan Breach. Oh, this is that, Through the Breach. Summoner's Pact, yeah. Oh my god, look at this. This is running a Singleton Terastodon. Really?
Yeah, now that's how you get it done.
That's some World Wake nonsense. Wait, was that in World? That was World Wake, right? Click.
I believe it was.
No, I know I had a few of them.
Yeah, that's World Wake. Yeah, that's some World Wake nonsense right there.
Terastodon's pretty cool.
That's that thing that says, it's a 9/9 for 6 green that says, when it enters the battlefield, you may destroy up to 3 target non-creature permanents, and for each one of those, its controller gets a 3/3 elephant. But when you're running Anger of the Gods too, whatever.
Yeah. Well, it can be pretty funny to go in and trade in 3 of your lands for some elephants. Because, you know, you don't need them anymore, you just cast something that costs 8.
There is also that. And there's another Grixis Shadow. So there's lots of Shadow, as, you know, has been seen in recent times since the last bannings. There's lots of Dredge, because Dredge is dead because they banned Golgari Grave Troll. Whoops. Lots of Primeval Titan decks. Good amount of Burn. This Company deck. And then lots and lots of just assorted other. So yeah, looks like Modern, at least in Copenhagen, was wide open.
Yeah.
So let's go over to Kobe and see what's going on there. Shall
GP
we?
GP beef.
Wow.
Delicious.
I have a beef with that pun.
It was because it was...
You're worse than me.
Yep.
So I'm going to defer to Bill on pronunciation on some of these when we get to them.
I will get them wrong accordingly.
Excellent. Who are these in order? These appear to be, these appear to be in order. Excellent. So Joe So won. He's like, I got this, and then he got it. Playing white.
Looks like
black,
he got it.
Yeah, playing white black Eldrazi. So it's the Eldrazi deck: Wasteland Strangler, Thought Not Seer, Reality Smasher. You know, like you do. It's also running Lingering Souls because white black. And then we have Tidehollow Sculler, because you're playing white-black in Modern, and Shriek Maw, because it's funny.
Shriek Maw is still amazing.
Oh, yeah. Always. You've got your Thoughtseize, your Inquisition of Kozilek, your Collective Brutality, Path to Exile, Fatal Push, Dismember. Lots of killing all the things. Relic of Progenitus, because Dredge, and Ratchet Bomb. I love it. And yeah, you just have big things that kill your opponent and disrupt them, you know.
Tide Hold. You normally run four relics on the main?
Yeah. Cause.
I'm not gonna argue with the results.
Yeah, because screw your graveyard, that's why. So that's first place. This deck looks, I mean, if you think black, white, Eldrazi, and modern, this is what pops into your head. I do like the one Ratchet Bomb though. That's great. Second place.
Look what came in second place.
Bill?
Teramasa Kojima.
Yeah, there we go. He's running Dredge.
That's why I was saying look at second place. Can you imagine you make it to the end of a GP with your Dredge deck and your opponent's got four main board Relic of Progenitus?
Yeah, I wonder how many times a judge was called in a game one for Joso when somebody went, there is no way you didn't D-sideboard. You've got four relics in your main deck. That's crazy. But no, that's totally what he did. Take that.
I mean, I used to mainboard Pithing Needle. Worked really well.
As well you should.
It won me a lot of games.
So there might be something to add to the show notes later once I hear back. Sorry about that. Yes, everything you were just saying. Next place.
C.
Park Bio?
B-O,
his?
Probably Park. B-O.
I mean, but still, his last name is B-I-O.
Yeah, I don't know.
That one threw me a little. So he is running a Grixis Shadow deck, which is pretty similar to the Grixis Shadow deck that won Copenhagen. In case you're wondering. Fumiyasa Suzuki? I screwed that up somewhere.
Suzuki?
There we go. I was close.
Fumiyasu Suzuki.
Yes. What he said is running Eldrazi Tron, which, yeah, that's just as terrifying as you'd think.
So I didn't really notice it until I was looking at it right now, but is Inbringer just the sassiest Eldrazi?
Yeah, he's talked to the handing with the.
Yeah, but look at his other hand too. It's like so sassy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. Carry on.
But this is all of the pain and anguish of a Tron deck.
All the godless fury of an Eldrazi Jack.
Yeah, we've got all the Tron stuff, but you've also got the Sanctum of Ugin and Eldrazi Temple, and you've got Walking Ballista, Matter Reshaper, Thought Not Seer, Reality Smasher, Endbringer, Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger, Emrakul the Promised End, and Karn Liberated the Death Star.
The Death Star, yes. One correction, it is Sanctum of the Ugin.
Oh, sorry, Sanctum of the Ugin. Yes, my bad. The Ugin doesn't even need to be. Oh no, he's in the board. There he is. Got that. Chilling. Got that. The Ugin there. So yeah, like I said, it's all of the pain and anguish from a Tron deck and Eldrazi. I'm gonna jump away now. In fifth place. That is it. No. What'd I just do?
I don't know what you did.
Who's in fifth place?
Tomoya Tsubouchi. Why can't I say this now?
One, two, three.
Tsubouchi. Yes. Tomoya Tsubouchi.
There we go. He's running Ad Nauseam. You know, that horrible mess of a combo deck that uses Phyrexian Unlife and Angel's Grace and Spoils of the Vault and Ad Nauseam and ends up with Lightning Storm and or Laboratory Maniac as the win conditions. I bet. This seems like one of those decks that when it works, you feel like a god. And when it doesn't work, you don't.
you mean a combo deck?
Like you feel like, yeah, but for something about this one, it seems like the sort of thing that when it works, it's the best thing ever. And when it doesn't work, it's the actual worst thing ever.
It's because it doesn't work if it doesn't go off, right? Like the whole deck is full of cards that you need to all be doing exactly that thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you get it to go, then great, it's a super redundant combo. If you don't, none of your cards do anything and you're getting hit in the face.
Yeah. But hey, look, top eight. Nice. What was that? That was fifth. So in sixth place, we have Takeshi Kagawa running Decepticons, also known as Affinity.
Yeah, this is the first Affinity we've seen today, yes?
It also has Affinity in it. It's running two Thoughtcast. What?
Nice.
Well.
Making you work for it.
How about that?
But, and I've always argued that cranial plating has honorary affinity.
That doesn't count.
It counts honorary.
It hangs out with affinity, but it's not allowed to sit at its table.
Yeah. It can't, what he said.
Even.
It can't even. It's also running the one welding jar for consistency, let's say. And what was that? That was affinity. So in seventh place, we have Akio Chiba.
Yep.
Running Esper Control, which is, yeah. Check out that Glory Bound Initiate addition to Esper Control. Seems good.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you throw a Batterskull on it.
Ew.
Luckily, Lifelink doesn't stack, or that would be absolutely unfair.
Yeah, but Vigilance.
Oh my god, I didn't
forgot even about the Vigilance, remember didn't you? The
Vigilance. So you can exert every turn and not care.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, isn't Batterskull already, like, one of the best cards ever?
Right? Oh, my head.
Just slap the Vigilance you forgot on there, and it's like, you know what I love? I love attacking for 8 lifelink.
Every turn.
Every turn. And still being back to block.
Yeah, seems good. Let's just move past that. And finally, in 8th place, we have Ryuichi Tamada running a more different Jeskai control. Oh, wait. Last one was Esper. This is Jeskai. Right, right, right. More different control. Snapcaster, Spell Queller, Serum Visions, lots of card draw and murder and burn and... Actually, wow, that's what all this is. Oh, and Logic Knot is a counterspell.
Wow. I forget about Logic Knot sometimes.
And that's all.
Yeah, it's a very straightforward deck.
Wait, how does it win? Does it just value you out and beat you to death with a Snapcaster and a Spell Queller?
I think it does, yeah. Two life at a time is how it beats
it, you. It is the classic control deck.
Oh, there's Celestial Colonnade. Okay. I was like, there's got to be something bigger in here. Oh, and
losing your will to live.
So, yeah, I mean, seriously, it's four each of Snapcaster, Spell Queller, and then Serum Visions, and then Lightning Bolt, Path to Exile, Logic Knot, Cryptic Command, Electrolyze, Lightning Helix. Buh. This is good to for deck checking, though, isn't it, Clues?
It is. I was going to say, I applaud all the four ofs. Like most modern decks, it's got the land base that it's like, yeah, I got like one and two of these things because screw you guys. But yeah, I like the main deck numbers-wise. A little too much blue, though, for my tastes. I would probably get rid of, yeah, all these blue, I would get rid of those and I'd put in more burn. I guess what I'm saying is play burn and then your land base takes care of itself. So... yeah.
So that is the top 8.
Merklurker.
Merklurker.
Wait, is there a Merk? Where's Merklurker?
No, there isn't one. It just came to mind. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I just felt like saying it.
Why would he be running Jorabai Merklurker?
Poor impulse control is why I said Merklurker.
I just like saying it when I hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the best name ever. He lurks in the murk. So, running through the top 32, we've got a four-color company deck. Oh, look, Vizier of Remedies and Devoted Druid, along with Ronus again. Also, there's Eternal Witness, Renegade Rallier, Kessig Wolf Run. Because when you have infinite mana, Kessig Wolf Run and Ronus are both pretty good.
Can you get the red?
Where's the fourth color? Did I just miss it?
Because
I was wondering what color was missing, but I'm only finding green, white, and red.
Great. Is it in the board? It's got to be in the board. Red. There's Bajuka Bog.
That does not count.
Yeah, wait. What is the fourth color?
There isn't one that I can say.
Okay, so there is a Bajuka Bog in the board, but that's
not a four color.
It. I call shenanigans.
Shenanigans have been called.
This is three color company. Gather your brooms. Okay, I'm sorry, we can go on.
Huh.
You're right, though.
Yeah, you totally are. The only thing, there's Verdant Catacombs, which I assume... Wait, no, Bajuka Bog isn't one of the ones with a land type. Never mind.
No, like, in Bajuka Bog, you're not playing it to make black. Like,
yeah, you're playing it
that
to
would be stupid.
Kill a graveyard, yeah.
I mean, Noble Hierarch makes blue, but what would you
do doesn't count.
With
Nothing
it?
Uses it.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, well, if we're missing something, dear listeners, do let us know. Let's see, Titan Shift with Platinum Empyrean and Madcap Experiment. Sick! Grixis Shadow, Eldrazi Tron, God, Scapeshift with Primetime. So what? Scapeshift and the Titan Shift deck look very similar except for the Madcap Empyrean combo. Huh. Here's Abzan Company. Check that out. Well,
it's got the Vizier combo.
Well, of course. It's also got Chameleon Colossus. Which
you got a TV commercial.
Yeah, with infinite mana, he gets stupid fast.
It doesn't normally take very long for him to get stupid, but sure.
Yeah.
This is when you find out how good they are at squares.
We've got an Abzan midrange deck, Elves, Jund Shadow, with a tiny splash of white for Ranger of Eos, because reasons. More Abzan Company. This one has Murderous Redcap in the board to go with the Viscera Seer and Vizier of Remedies. More Abzan Company, more Dredge, a blue-red Gift Storm. So this is the blue-red Storm deck with Barrel and Electromancer and Gifts Ungiven, because, you know, I want all these parts now. Boros Burn. What's the Boros? So it's got Lightning Helix. Yeah, it's got Lightning Helix and Boros Charm. Okay. Here's Affinity without Affinity. So Decepticons for realsies. Grixis Shadow, more Boros Burn, Bant Eldrazi, a black-green midrange deck. Wow, this looks like it's from a few years ago and they've just updated it. Like it's running Gopher the Throat. So here are the two decks that were causing a large ruckus. This is Kelvin Chu and Zuching Kuo, who are the two here in 28th and 29th. Running a deck called Vizier Nightfall, which uses the infinite combo of Devoted Druid and Vizier of Remedies, of course, with Kesig Wolfrun and Walking Ballista, you know, like you do. It's also running the not infinite but repeatable combo of Retreat to Coral Helm and Knight of the Reliquary that we've seen before.
Yeah.
And this one is also running Reflector Mage because So yeah, that's a good little thing there. All the rage this week. Grixis Shadow, more Dredge, and that's the top 32.
Yep.
So yeah, hell yeah. Modern is still like this one.
This is interesting.
The metas of these two have their similarities, but this one seemed to have a lot less of the shadow and a lot more,
like, everything just, else.
Like Abzan Company and Abzan Midrange and Jund and stuff like that. So yeah, there you go. Modern is, as always, wide open, seems healthy, seems good.
Yeah. It seems like if I was going to play a constructed format, it's the one I would probably play.
Desert Ceridon. Wow.
It has the benefits of being non-rotating with the benefits of card availability. They've done a really good job of making cards available of late.
Yeah. So let us move. How many people were there? There were 1815 in Copenhagen and 2802 in Kobe. Damn. Those are not small numbers.
No, that's a lot of people playing Modern.
Speaking of a lot of people playing Modern, I did not look at the numbers for Baltimore until just now. Star City, yeah, had an open in Baltimore, Maryland that was Modern. There were 903 people there.
Not a small number.
Yeah, not for a Star City Open, it's not. Damn. Brad Nelson won, playing Grixis Death Shadow deck that we have pretty much already covered. So, moving on. Ben Friedman in second with Dredge. Jacob Haversad in third with Amulet Titan. Yeah, there's the Amulet of Vigor. So, Courser of Crucifix, Azusa, Secure Tribe Scout. Huh. Remember the old Amulet Bloom deck? This is what it turned into, I think.
Yeah, seems likely.
Yeah. Okay, then. That's cool. And Reed Duke in fourth place playing Jund. Cause that deck will never die.
Olivia's back, everybody.
What, was she gone?
I mean, for a little while she was, actually like in the set again, but this is the good Olivia. Fuldaren.
Gotcha. Todd Stevens in 5th is playing the Eldrazi Tron deck. Ryan Hovis in 6th is running Death's Shadow. This is the black, green, blue, it looks like. Oh, yeah, with Traverse and going. Okay, yeah, got it. Moving on. 7th place, Craig Berry is running Scapeshift. And in 8th place, James O'Shaughnessy is running another Grixis Death Shatter deck. So, cool. Looking further down in the top, this goes to 25. We'll just look at that. We've got more Burn, Gift Storm, 4-color Death Shadow, more Death Shadow, Green White, Hexproof. What? What? Holy crap, it's Bogles!
Nice.
Glade Cover Scout, Core Spirit Dancer, Solana Ledgewalker. Sorry, I have bad dreams about that card because of,
what it does.
Well, playing with, Dirk, actually, 1,000 years ago in, just casual 60 card round table multiplayer Magic. Dirk would go Solana Ledgewalker and then do what this deck wants to do and murder us all.
That was my experience with Ledgewalker as well.
Yeah.
That 13th place green-white hexproof deck was the only green-white hexproof deck to make day two.
Oh, nice. But, I mean, it's essentially the old Bogles deck. Daybreak Coronet, Ethereal Armor, Griff's Boon, Umbras, Keen Sense, Rancor. Yeah, Unflinching Courage. Just all of the stuff you'd expect in that deck. Yeah, it's here, and it's brutal.
You could make this into a precon.
It'll crush your face.
Like, really. This could be a precon if you just ignored the mana base.
Actually, yeah, it totally could. Huh, neat. So, okay, moving on. Another 4-color Death Shadow Counters Company, Black-White Eldrazi Taxes. What? So this is the Black-White Eldrazi deck with Displacer and a bunch of the Flicker, Displacer and Flicker Wisp. And Thalia. And all of these, Eldrazi that do stuff. Well, the Thought-Not Seer and the Wasteland Strangler, especially. And Tide Hollow Sculler. You know what I mean.
Is Kumball normally in the sideboard of these?
I have no idea. He's in this one, though.
He's all allocating.
Look at him. At least he's not compliance! So which one was that? That was 16th. Okay, Burn and 17th, Counters Company and 18th, Blue-Red Control. G-Fabs, what are you doing? So this is a straight up blue red control deck that's also running Platinum Empyrean and Madcap Experiment. And a Jace Architect of Thought. Wow. That takes me back. All right then. Okay, well that's neat. Moving on, Affinity, Eldrazi Tron, Affinity, Abzan Traverse, Dredge, and Affinity. What is this Abzan Traverse deck that Jadeen is running? She's got, two flavors of Liliana of the Veil and the Last Hope, Kalitas, Tassiger, Goyf, Scavenging Ooze, Grim Flayer. There's Path. I was like, why is this Abzan? Because Path and Lingering Souls. Got it. Okay. Makes sense. Moving on. So there you go. That is that Modern. Again, format very wide open. Let's go jump over quickly to the Classic in Modern, where there were 320 people playing. Jonathan Sukinik. Jonathan S. is running Jeskai Control. Travis Purley in 2nd is running a 4-color control. What is this? Blue, red, black. Oh, white. Okay, so it's running non-green control. Got it. Which one was that? Okay. Jonathan Tino in 3rd is running Burn. James Johnston in 4th is running Affinity. Probably Decepticons. Stephen Neal in 5th, Burn. Robert Tankin in 6th, Gift Storm. Mark Gabriel in 7th, Abzan Death Shadow. And Abbas Joffrey in 8th, running Living End. The rest of the top 16, Red Black Eldrazi. What? Thundermaw Hellkite. Dude, no way.
Oh, I missed that guy.
And he's got 2 Chandra Torch of Defiance and 2 Chandra Pyromaster. Damn. Like, he is not even kidding. Do what?
I miss Thundermaw.
Yeah, you do.
He was my favorite dragon.
He is, vaguely stupid.
You would never say that to his face, though.
Oh, God.
He'd be on fire. Yeah. And possibly tapped.
Yeah, I'd be totally tapped. But yeah, this is running your normal Eldrazi, Thought Not Seer, Reality Smasher, Wasteland Strangler, and Eternal Scourge. Is there something that works with Eternal Scourge, or is it just there for value? I guess both Chandra's Exile top cards, but he's only running the one Eternal Scourge, so I guess it's just there for value?
Hard to think of what else would exile it.
I mean, I'm not seeing anything.
Well, it's modern. Maybe if someone, you know, smacks your graveyard for some reason, get a free dude.
That's true.
And by free, I mean you can pay for him and get him.
Yeah. Okay, then. Moving on. Blue-white control Ironworks combo in 11th. What? Really? There's Ironworks, Anchor Wellspring, Everflowing Chalice. Yep, yep. Chromatic Star, Chromatic Sphere. That's Krark Clan Ironworks, for those that don't know. Mindstone, Terrarian, Mox Opal, Ancient Stirrings, Hangerback Walker, Scrap Trawler, ding, and Imrakul. Yeah, that's, I wouldn't mind seeing this in action. I bet it's, like, tedious and fascinating.
Because
remember, the Scrap Trawler, when it or another artifact you control is put, it dies, you return to your hand target artifact card in your graveyard with a lesser converted mana cost, and all of these, when they go to the graveyard or when you play them, they draw cards or give you mana or both or stuff like that. So nice. Okay, moving on. Four color Sahelian 12th Bant Retreat. What's Bant Retreat? Oh, that's the knight and Retreat to Coral Helm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Have we talked about the four color Saheeli with specifically the context of Sun Titan nonsense before?
Oh. Oh.
It's got a Sun Titan in it. I don't know if that's normal or not. Because that's sick.
Sun Titan with Voice of Resurgence.
Well,
and Reflector Mage. And Meddling Mage.
More importantly, Sun Titan with Saheeli.
Yeah, and Saheeli.
It's like, they got that Saheeli. Okay, cool. Now I'm going to make a copy of my Sun Titan. Okay, now I'm going to dig out whatever.
Jesus.
Then I'm going to attack with my Sun Titan copy.
Wow. You can even get, like, back Spreading Seas if you want. Like, this is debuh.
Because I'm imagining the turn playing out similar to the way that the Phantasmal Image thing did before, only less fragile.
Don't say those words to me.
Sun Titan, why don't you go get Saheeli? Cool, Saheeli, why don't you go make a Sun Titan? New Sun Titan, why don't you go get something? New Sun Titan, why don't you attack and go get something?
Oh god, my head. Alright, we're gonna close that tab. So yeah, after the...
Because what else is a Reflector Mage?
I hate you. I was hoping you wouldn't actually see that. So after the four color Saheeli, there's two Bant Retreats, a blue-white control, and elves, and that's the top 16 there. So a lot of people came out to play Modern this weekend. Like a lot of people. Like a lot of people. Let's look at the Standard Classic. There were 123 people. Aw.
Boop, boop, ba-doo.
Brow. So, who won? Matt Tumovich running Teemer Energy. Wait, Teemer Energy? Yeah, yeah, okay.
Glorybringer.
Yeah. Gotta have that Glorybringer. He brings the glory. Son, Aiden Sottil, running Mono Black Zombies. Alexander Lau with Green Black Energy. Jungin Song running Mardu Vehicles. Evan Whitehouse running, hey look, Teemer Aetherworks. There it is. All the way down in fifth. Wow. Oh, but here's a whole run of them. Daniel Ward in sixth running Bant Aetherworks. Kane Reinhardt? Really? Nice. Running, Teemer Aetherworks. Max Medeiros in eighth running Teemer Aetherworks. And then just because Julian John in ninth running Teemer Aetherworks. Damn. The rest of the top 16, Marta Vehicles, Mono Black Zombies, Esper Aggro. What? Oh. Dude, look at this.
I think I have a set.
Scrap Heap Scrounger, Eldrazi Skyspawner, Glorybound Initiate, Spell Queller, Toolcraft Exemplar, Thraben Inspector, Archangel Avacyn, and Gideon Ally of Zendikar. And Heart of Kirin. Damn! Get in there.
Metallic Rebuke.
That seems good.
Yeah. I just forgot what Improvised did. Isn't it sad?
No, I had to read it too.
Like, wait a minute. I haven't seen that in Standard. Outside of, like, the limited set I didn't play.
Finishing out the top 16, blue-red control, more team or either works, four-color mid-range, and Mardu vehicles. What's a four-color mid-range? Oh, this is the four-color Saheeli copycat deck without Saheeli and with a bunch of planeswalkers. Right, we talked about this last week. With Tamiyo, new Nissa, and two different Chandras, Flame Color and Torch. Yeah, that deck. Okay, cool. With Glorybringer! Because for some reason in my head, Glorybringer sounds like Reinhardt.
Reinhardt.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the little bit of standard we have. Very little, because only 123 people decided to go. There were 320 in the Modern Classic. Damn. Now part of that is, I'm sure, because the Modern Open was that weekend, and everyone who scrubbed out a day two had a Modern deck and said, hey, there's a Classic, let's jump in that. Right? Surely.
Presumably.
So, let us move away from these tournaments and talk about an upcoming tournament. WotC announced on Thursday of last week that they're issuing a special invite to the Pro Tour. And anytime Wizards does this, the internet at large loses its damn mind.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a Hearthstone streamer. Amaz is his handle. His name is Jason Chan, not the artist Jason Chan. This is a more different Jason Chan. There are lots of those. At least two. So, you know. But he's Amaz. He's a Hearthstone streamer. He's a Hearthstone caster, which would be commentator, I guess is the word. I don't know why we don't say casting in Magic, but...
Does it mean something else?
Does it?
Casting?
I mean, it means that in Hearthstone, too, so...
I didn't know the Hearthstone terminology. But whenever you cast a spell, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, when I say caster, I mean he's a, you know, he does coverage for
events. Yeah, I know. I was picking apart the word choice. Carry on.
He's also a, I don't know if he still does this, but he's also like an organizer of events. He's put together a few, like Hearthstone tournaments or events or whatever you call it, in the past. So yeah, he has a special invite to the Pro Tour, which caused some people to lose their minds.
Would it be the people who have never seen a special invite before?
Well, like, one of the people, it was, what's his name? Willie Adel was like, I don't like it. Other people, like, BBD, was like, that's awesome. Jerry T actually tweeted at him and said, I won the last Pro Tour, are you looking for a team?
Nice.
Yeah, so... And let's be clear, the reason that this special invite happened, this is marketing. That's what this is. They did this with, Day 9 and I can't remember who else a few years ago. They want Amaz to tell his, Hearthstone audience, hey, look, I got invited to the Magic Pro Tour. I'm going to go play. And they want to try to hook people into Magic with it, you know, cause Hearthstone is, card game that spun out of Magic's popularity, blah, 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 which is where all card games come from. They've all spun out of Magic's popularity. So before anyone tries to nitpick me on Twitter, shut up. Magic was the first. So, that's what this is. And it's awesome that Wizards really wants to, like, widen the audience. And this is a way to do it. Now, whether or not it works or matters at all, you know, that remains to be seen, but... To be honest, I had never, it worked more in the other direction for me, cause like, I'd never heard of Day 9 before the last one. When he got the special, I'm like, who's this jackass? He's a new play Magic. Oh, he's a streamer, and he's been like one of the top streamers on Twitch since its inception. Oh, okay.
Marketing!
So that's who that jackass is. And I still am subscribed to Day 9's YouTube channel. I used to be subscribed to Amaz, but every once in a while I purge. And do I actually watch these anymore? Nope, and I unsub, so. But he's very positive, he's very energetic, he's very animated, he's a character. So, you know, this makes perfect sense. And we should probably point out, be very clear, that issuing a special invite to someone that didn't quote-unquote earn it doesn't mean that they issued one less invite to people through all the other invitation means. Right. Like, this doesn't take away from someone else. And to my knowledge, he does, like, he plays Magic, but not seriously. Like, he has played Magic, let's say. So it's not like he's gonna show up and wreck the place. Almost certainly.
But if he did, it'd be an amazing story.
Oh, I totally would.
Because that's sort of the thing that people seem to forget. If one of these people who, quote unquote, shouldn't be there shows up and wins, maybe they should have been there because they won.
Seems like once with a, there was a special invite to someone who did really well.
Yeah, that does sound familiar.
But it's not coming out of my head. Pro Tour MTG special invite.
Hey, that's what I'm doing.
Aha! Four special invites on the Pro Tour. How do you get these? What is this for? Control F special. Ben Friedman. Case Johnson. Okay, I don't know what that means. I don't know who these people are. Ah, here we go. You can search by invitation source. Nice. Okay, hang on. We're working on it. It's gonna be on page 6. Here we go. Ben Friedman, Case Johnson, Frank Lepore, and Vidyanto Wijaya had a special invite to, Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch. I don't remember anybody losing their mind over those.
Oh, someone surely did.
Yeah, it just didn't get loud enough for us to notice, I don't think. This is gonna sound terrible, but I think it's sticking out in my head because it was, the special invites were female players? One of the female players?
No, that doesn't sound right.
Wait, maybe that was the same, I think it was the same time, that she made the top 8. And that's why it's mixed up in my head. Okay, I can't remember. I give up. But like, David Williams had a special invite to, Pro Tour Magic Origins. You know, he's a Magic player. He didn't get there, but he got a special invite. And I don't remember anybody losing their mind about it back then. So I'm just saying. But if anybody has any more examples, please do let us know, because apparently this search doesn't exist in an easy to find manner. But, yeah, the point is, so, okay, let's discuss why does this piss people off? Other than the fact that they're Magic players on the internet, which means they bitch about everything.
Like, yeah, I was going to go ahead and...
Like, more specifically than that, why does this piss people off?
I think it's because there is that perception that anyone who got a special invite didn't quote-unquote earn it and therefore does not belong. I think it's really just that. And yet what you exactly. Gotta understand is just because someone got their ice cream for free doesn't make your ice cream taste any worse. And if it does, that's a problem with you, not the ice cream. And certainly not with them who got the free ice cream. Good on them.
Yeah.
Also, I really want ice cream.
I wholeheartedly agree. So Clues brought up ice cream, and that is good. That's a good point. The other thing is that, well, he didn't earn his invite to the Pro Tour. But let's look at it this way. He's been a top Twitch streamer for like 3 or more years. Like when you say Amaz, people know who that is. He is a big thing. Are you a big thing?
Well, let's back up a step further and ask, what's the function of a Pro Tour?
Marketing.
I mean, they don't exist because WotC wants to give Magic players money. That's not really why they're there. They're there to showcase the game. They're there to act as advertising for the game. And if they can take someone who's, you know, has a Venn diagram overlap with the Magic community, but they're not, you know, simply the Magic community, but they can extend it to a wider audience, and they can go, hey, let's shine a spotlight on Magic through their participation. I see absolutely no problem with that.
Yeah. But I was coming at it from the other direction. They might not have earned it in through the traditional channels, but sure. They don't just invite nobody. Like,
for instance, I have never received a special invite to the Pro Tour.
Exactly. Steve on the bus, they don't just go, you know that guy on the bus? We should invite him to the Pro Tour, because as much as we love Steve and we know how important Steve is, Wizards doesn't feel that way about you. I'm sorry, Steve.
Yeah, sorry, Steve.
But you knew that, so it's fine. But, I mean, this guy is coming at it from a different angle. It's not like he was like, I want to get on the Pro Tour, so I'm going to be a famous streamer. Like, that's not how it works. And I'm sure this came out of left field for him. So.
Okay, so while you guys were talking, I did some more digging.
Oh, good.
And Pro Tour Gatecrash, Melissa DeTora got in on special invite, and then she top aided it.
Ha ha! Knew it.
Ah, there we go.
You want to know how I found that?
How's that?
I found an old article written by one Chris Lansdell about it.
I think I've heard of that guy, but I'm not sure.
Don't.
Apparently, someone on Twitter thinks I hate him. But
yeah, it's true. okay,
I just plugged something you wrote 5 years ago.
Do you have a link to that?
Yeah.
Could you drop that in the show notes for me, please?
Yeah, well, actually, I'll link you to, I'm going to see if I can find the original announcement and link to that, but I'll also link to Chris's thing.
Yeah.
Because he talks about, like, it's actually a pretty good article explaining what we're talking about right now, but in 2013. So you can make a comparison to see how things have or have not changed.
Nice.
I haven't read all of it, but I found it as a source. I read it 4 years ago. Good memory. Yeah, I'll drop it in.
Sweet. So there you go. Did you say you found, pardon me, the link to the original announcement?
I'm digging that up, too.
Oh, okay. Because I'm curious what their reasoning was for inviting Melissa DeTora, because I know she was, like, grinding that sort of thing. She was a
GP player. Well, I found an article actually written by Melissa DeTora.
Oh.
When she was talking about how she finished ninth at GP Toronto and was really, really close to getting in. And then they reached out to her and gave her another shot. And then she just wrote this whole article about that tournament and everything that went into it.
Hmm.
And one of the things that's included here is the Twitter announcement by Ellen Bergeau when they said they were going to bring them in. I'm going to pull these links together into one place and then we can figure out the best way to display it.
Fair enough. So, yeah. But essentially nothing has changed. And I do remember people losing their mind about it when that happened in the first place,
yeah.
when she top aided. Sponsors exemption. Ah, okay. I remember these things now.
Yeah, like this is stuff from, you know, recent history, but so much magic has happened since then that I've forgotten a lot of it.
Yeah. Okay. So if I leave this open, I will just sit here and keep reading to refresh myself. So let's not do that. I'll just close that. Yeah. So tell you what, if you want more information about what happened back then, we're going to have a whole mess of links for you in the show notes. But essentially, it's the same thing. Like, none of this is bad. Like, am I right? None of this is bad. This seems fine.
Well, I'm pretty sure this is going to kill Magic.
True.
In that all things, every time that something happens, is going to kill Magic.
I killed it like 3 times.
Himself.
Yeah.
That's where you lost that eye.
I mean, I sat on it. Magic, not the eye. I don't know where that is. I can't find it. I'm missing an eye.
Oh, man. I got to get me some big vanilla tats. I'm...
Which, that should be an ice cream flavor now that I think of it.
I don't want that. No.
Oh, ew. I'm not saying it's a good flavor. I'm just saying that it should
That's the kind of limited time thing that stays in the back of the freezer for 3 years because everyone's afraid of touching it to get rid of it.
Is that where you take chocolate syrup and you write mom with a heart around it with the chocolate syrup? Anyway. So anyway, for anyone who's complaining about this, stop it. You can't change it. This is one of those things that Wizards has been doing for literal years. Just because you just noticed and don't like it, they don't care, and we don't either. This is an overall net positive for the game because it has the potential to bring more people in. So, shut up. Now, if you have a reasoned argument for why this is absolutely bad...
Note the qualifier. It needs to be a reasoned argument.
Other than he didn't earn it this way, and I think that opening up Magic to more people is somehow bad, then by all means, let us know in email or Twitter or whatever. And we will gladly read it. And if you are actually having a reasoned discussion, we will discuss it. Ain't that right, boys?
That is correct.
Yeah. So, moving on.
Magic.
Okay, more different stuff. There's a Commander Anthology. Remember they mentioned that a while back?
Oh, man, I love rebuying Commander.
Yeah. So, the Commander Anthology, what's in it has been revealed here. We've got the Kalia deck, from the original Commander
series, the Derevi deck from Commander 2013, the Frailes deck from Commander 2014, and the Merrin of Clan Nel'Toth deck from 2015, along with four of those 100-point spinning life counters, the thing that was in the Commander's arsenal. Yeah, it's got four of those.
Which is awesome.
That is pretty cool. And I'm not sure what else we're looking at here. There are four deck boxes. Are there sleeves in the graphic here, you guys? What is that in the middle?
I'm trying to figure out what that is in the middle.
Hold on. Let me get to that link again. If it's what I think it is, it's literature about the product itself. It's like the inserts and stuff.
Oh, like the how to deck.
That could be. Because it says each deck comes packed with a foil commander card and all the tokens you'll be needing. So it's not like all the tokens are piled in the middle. They're in with the decks, most likely.
Yeah, and these aren't going to have the giant oversized cards.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, dude. I would assume that's the how-to magic thing in the middle.
Yeah, Trick was tweeting some pictures of some of this stuff, and somebody asked about something in the background that they saw in one of those pictures, and it was like the stack of stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's a fanfic insert of Tybalt and Tamiyo fanfic.
Ew.
Well, I didn't say you wanted it, but they bundled it for no good.
Saying ew in general.
I'm saying ew specifically. But anyway, if you'd like to know about these decks and what's in them and all that, that's what the link in the show notes. Hey! Oh, I'm allergic to Commander.
are you okay?
Ow.
So are you in your safe place? Or did Clues scare you with the fanfiction?
Both. Okay, so is this point in the life cycle of a Magic set where R&D starts doing question and answer type things? Last week we mentioned, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, we mentioned that Mark Rosewater had done one for Amon Khett. He's done a second one. Links in the show notes if you want to read it. We're not going to talk about that one, but we are going to talk about the one that Development did, Sam Stoddard. There are a couple of these questions that are really relevant. Our own Hairless Thoktar. That's Will Blanks, the unsung, unheard fourth member of Monday Night Magic, who makes sure that we always have crap to talk about. Love you, Will. You'll hear more about him in a minute. And if you click some links, you can see him!
in 3D! Compressed down to 2D for your screen.
Yes. That's right.
But he asks, should Marvel, meaning Etherworks Marvel, have entered tapped or sacrificed or not cast? In hindsight, what would have changed? And this answer is really, really interesting. Sam Stoddard says, there are a number of things. First off, I think we should try to limit the number of cards getting random creatures off the top after Coco and Etherworks Marvel. Correct. I think we could have fixed the problems with the current card by either adding a mana cost to the activation, or we could have not cast the spell. Because it casts it, and that's where the problems come from with Ulamog, right?
Yeah.
Because Ulamog has a cast trigger. Yeah.
It's an Eldrazi thing.
But this is my favorite part, this final sentence. Certainly, if we'd known about the extra 6 months with Eldrazi, we would have weakened it a bit. Because remember, these two sets were only supposed to be in standard together for like 3 months or so. Give or take, because formerly they were going to rotate every set or every block every 18 months.
Yeah, and so Aetherworks was in Kaladesh, and by the end of Kaladesh block, we would be losing some of the Eldrazi, and then it would just be Aetherworks and Imrakul hanging out together for another 6 months before Imrakul went away.
Yeah, because originally when Amon Khett came out, Battle for Zendikar was supposed to rotate, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But it didn't, so now we're stuck in this standard hell that we're in now. Now, that's not the only reason we're in the standard hell. You know, Watsi also screwed up some stuff, but that's one of the problems.
We are operating in an environment that the Future League was not building in. So we're going to get some messes. This is likely going to continue for another probably year.
Probably.
While they sort that out, give or take some last minute fixing.
And there was another question, Clues, you pointed out.
Let me find it here. It's further down the page. Yeah, so at Designer Dan F. asked, other than Play Design's addition, what lessons has WotC learned from the recent standard problems?
Oh.
The response to this is interesting. There's a lot I could say here, but Mark Rosewater is going to cover much of that on June 12th, so look for his article then. So heads up, June 12th, Rosewater article, you're probably going to want to read it.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks, so pay attention.
Yes.
I would just like to take a line from lower down. Like, most of the response doesn't matter, but I think it's funny. The question was, why do non-genre red mythics seem to be aimed at casual players more so than other colors? Most of them aren't remotely tournament playable. So are you ready for this response, Clues?
Yep.
All right, we've had a few hits, list of cards. That being said, red mythics are some of the hardest. One of the challenges is that red's color pie and what is fun don't always line up great.
So I've actually talked to some folks at WotC about this sort of thing before. You know,
I know you have. That's why I wanted to bring it up with you.
Why don't we get, you know, awesome red cards? The issue is, holy crap, is it easy to make broken red cards? Like, real easy to make broken red cards. And so they are very conservative with what they let red do. Because, you know, Lightning Bolt's awesome, and that's why we can't have it. Yeah. And in particular, making a Chandra that is just supremely OP would be real easy. And that's why we typically get, watered down Chandras.
The last few have been okay, though.
Yeah, they've gotten better at it.
Massively broken. He means, like, auto includes in every deck in every format. Like,
yeah.
Anything more efficient than Lightning Bolt is really easy to print and really easy to completely destroy a constructed format.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that they have here, like, a lot of what makes red decks strong and standard is aggressive creatures and burn. And we don't put too many of those as mythics. We also have a bit less leeway on some of the weird and powerful mythics that other colors get, like big card draw. If we make more powerful mid-range or control creatures, they are just less likely to show up in standard because of how red tends to be positioned in the format. So what they're saying is, for the things that red is good at, it's already as good as they're willing to allow it to be at mythic. Just like, it's not like you're going to get a red card that's like, and then draw 8 cards with no weird strings attached. Like, they're not doing that.
Yeah. Although I do really like what they've ended up doing with red looting.
The, like the rummaging effect?
Yeah, the rummaging effect, yeah.
I like red card draw.
I think that's nice.
I like the, you get a card, but you have to use it this turn thing. It's very great.
Yep, yeah, I like those too.
Yeah. So yeah, if you want to read any more of these, some of these are really good, questions and answers. The link to both the Rosewater and Sam Stott article will be in the show notes. Yay.
Hooray.
So now we have, stuff. So this weekend, not only was it an amazement where the Squee was located.
Da-da-da.
But there was also MomoCon down in Georgia somewhere. It was in Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Yeah.
At Peachtree.
Which one? Yes.
Yes.
And what does Momo mean? Peach. Now you're caught up.
So what's tree? Cause that's what it should be called.
That's true. I think they went for the shorter one.
Yeah. Peach so, con. There are links to 3, VODs, I don't know what VOD actually stands for. They're called VODs.
Video on demand.
Ah, okay. So 3 Twitch videos, from MomoCon of panels. One is the MTG inclusivity, panel. That was really hard to read for some reason. I don't know why that word, it didn't look like a word there for a second. It was very scary. I was like, inclusive. Anyway, oh no, I closed it. Who are these people? Crap. Do you still have that open, Bill? The MomoCon?
Like, who the people at MomoCon are? No, I closed it because you said who they were.
Yes, it's Allison Lures and Kelly Diggs and schedule a third person whose name didn't pop. Oh God, why did I keep forgetting? I had to click the schedule like 4 times for it to actually happen. Here we go. Control F Dragon. Here we go. Bam. Allison Lures, Kelly Diggs, and community manager Michael Yichao. Y-I-C-H-A-O. Got any idea there, Bill? You're the
Like that?
I mean, that sounds right.
Oh, okay, cool. So yeah, they're both from R&D, and then Michael Yichao is the community manager, and he's a Magic story writer. They were all three in the inclusivity panel and the Magic story panel. And if you want to watch those, then they're in the show notes, along with the gaming industry panel, which I completely forgot to look up. Breaking into the gaming industry, I'm guessing. Hey, someone click on that real quick and tell me if that's right.
One second and I will.
Excuse me, I was so busy worrying about who was in... It is breaking into the gaming industry, okay. And I don't know why this is here other than Will just wanted you to see it, I guess. It features Alan Wilson, the VP at Tripwire Interactive, Chuck Vinson, the SFX lead at High Res Studios, and then Andrew Greenberg, Rob Manuel, and Samantha Liketamer. I have no idea who these people are, but if any of those names mean anything to you, it's how to break into the game industry. So, an expert panel of game industry professionals from all sides. So there you go. If you want to know about breaking into the game industry, the link to that panel is also in the show notes.
Go to the past via Twitch.
I've lost the show notes. Now, here it is. Also, as always, when a new set comes out, Wizards has a survey about it. The link will be in the show notes, although by the time you click it, it might be gone. But it's live right now, so there you go. Tell Wizards what you think of Amonkhet the set. Oh, and also in the inclusivity panel in the audience, Will, if you've ever wondered about Magic Judge and Monday Night Magic background contributor Will Blanks, he is in the orange shirt in the audience in the inclusivity panel, and in the blue hoodie in the audience in the story panel. That's Will.
Will be on the test.
He's an animated individual.
Yeah.
He's a trip.
Once in a while we had him on the show and he was fairly quiet. That is a lie.
It is. Straight up lie.
You just need to get him in person. He's really great.
I bet Will has big vanilla tats.
I bet he wouldn't tell you, but if you met him in person, he might show you. Do not walk up and ask him for that.
Please don't. No. Ask me.
It's rude.
It'll be fine. Anyway, so let's, that's everything, right? Yeah, that's everything. Let's go to Magic Online.
All right.
Quick,
so,
before something terrible happens.
As you recall, last week, we actually put out an episode on Tuesday. And so I already covered all of that news. But as it happens, this week, we're also putting out an episode on Tuesday. So I've got current Magic Online news.
Oh yeah, we didn't say that, but yeah. In America, yesterday was Memorial Day, and Bill and Clues both have friends, those bastards, so they had, you know, things to do with people from that were in town.
You were hanging out with your friends in Overwatch.
Those aren't friends. In Overwatch,
they're
squad members, they're co-workers.
Friends from work.
Yeah, exactly. And gotcha. Overwatch is my work.
I mean, it is for you. You have to log that time. But yeah, so what it all boils down to is I've actually gotten current Magic Online news. Now, the deal with Magic Online news coming out on Tuesdays is that half of the things in here are reminders of upcoming events that'll be happening like this weekend. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. You can click on the link in the show notes for the weekly updates from 5:30 if you want to see all of those. But one of the things that it does mention in here, which is worth some attention, is the fact that the Magic Online Pro Tours.
Pro Tour qualifiers.
Well, no, I'm getting there. The Magic Online Pro Tours, you know, for a while now, like the normal ones had qualifiers that you would go into, you'd play through, you'd win that little event, and then as a result of that, you'd be given a token, which would let you into the actual Pro Tour qualifier. So you'd preliminaries, and then they would feed into the finals, whatever. They're changing that up a little bit, and they're going to give us a new article with more details on that, I believe tomorrow is what it said.
Yeah,
tomorrow. So the last one that'll follow the system that you know is happening this weekend, in case you want to jump in on that. But I'm recommending you go to the Wizards website tomorrow, go to either Products, then Magic Online, and click it there, or it'll probably be visible in the main news as well, because they usually drop it in both, to get the details on how that's going to work going forward. So just wanted to get that out of the way. I'm fairly confident they said they were going to do this a while ago when I spoke about it, but I can't for the life of me find the link to substantiate that.
Yeah, it sounded familiar to me. Someone tweeted at me this morning. I think it was it Samwise? I think it was Samwise. And was like, dude, what is this? And I'm like, and I read it and I'm like, that does not surprise me. So I swear I think we've mentioned it before. And then Bill goes, I swear I think I've mentioned it before. But we couldn't find it.
Yeah, I think it was mentioned in passing in one of the weekly updates, and I'm just having trouble digging it out of all the ones that have happened the last several months.
Yeah.
But regardless, now you're aware. If it turns out that I thought I spoke about it and I didn't, then I apologize. But I'm pretty sure I've at least told them about it, even if it wasn't on the show. We've had a conversation about it. So either way, now you know. That article will be going up tomorrow. Another thing that's going to be going up tomorrow, and that's going to be way more fun to talk.
So the last constructed finals event that will have preliminaries feeding it is the standard PTQ for Ixalan on Saturday, June 3rd. The last of the preliminaries will be Friday, June 2nd. That's this Friday and this Saturday. So if you really wanted to get into it, that's how you do it.
Yes.
Now there's also a, Amonkhet sealed PTQ for it. Da-da-da-da. This says the weekly suite of preliminaries on Thursday through Tuesday, June 1st. Oh, June 1st through June 6th will happen as normal. And the sealed PTQ is on Sunday. So, you know. Oh, here it is. Remember, you are no longer required to enter into the PTQ finals immediately following the preliminary that you qualified through thanks to the redesigned PTQ system that Lee Sharp announced here back in
2015. They copy paste a lot of this. That's part of why I don't read these out every week.
Wow. Okay. So I thought this was a link to the thing they'd actually changed. Nope. 2015.
Yeah. It's weird. They copy paste a lot of these things.
just never
mind. I mean, it's true. That was a change. It just wasn't recent. Once upon a time, you had to play through like the full thing and then roll immediately into the next one, but they gave you some flexibility now because that was miserable.
Jeez.
But yeah, so that's the status for this week. I'll talk about whatever they put out tomorrow next Monday, but in the meantime, you should probably go ahead and read that if you're an active Magic Online player looking to get on the Pro Tour. So that said, like the other more exciting for me thing is that they're, if you recall, they recently did a throwback standard gauntlet thing where they ran us through Combo Winter and Crash Magic Online. yeah. And so one of the things that they're doing now, which is going to be kind of cool, is that they're going to be starting a throwback standard gauntlet for the early 2000s, which I provided a link to here in the show notes. And these are some of the iconic decks that, like, I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
And you've probably heard about them if you spend enough time around Magic players, even if you've never seen what they actually are. Because a lot of these names got picked up and reused, or they're sort of self-evident.
These are the ones that were big when I got back into Magic in, like, Judgment. Onslaught was my first new set when I got back into Magic casually. But even, you know, just getting into it casually, we read the Magic website, you know, all of us that played together every day, and we looked at deck lists and stuff, and these were just insane.
Yeah, so just to give some background before we go into the decks, these events, these throwback standard gauntlets are phantom events. They're technically limited insofar as when you sign up to do them, rather than just, like, bringing a deck, you will be given a copy of one of these eight available historic decks. You don't get to keep the cards, but you do get to play with them and their respective sideboards against other decks taken from that set. So you're pretty much playing in a standard as if you were playing one of the best decks in that standard for 1 week while this is going on.
Yeah.
So it's a fun way to get to see what things were like back then. Just my usual disclaimer on these is that the rules of Magic aren't exactly the same as they were back then, so you'll occasionally run into something funny. Like, you know, they were operating on different legend rules, or damage on the stack was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, combat damage on the stack. Like, those aren't here anymore. So things might be a little different, but for the most part, you're going to get a similar experience.
And of course, these, when he says it's technically limited, they're found in limited leagues when you go to Magic Online.
Yes.
So that's a little weird.
They're not stored and constructed because you're not bringing your own deck.
Right.
So That said, let's briefly talk about the A decks here because it's fun.
Yeah. So the first one is good old Dr. Teeth, which look up Psychotog's original art.
I love that picture.
Because this weird new Vintage Masters version is just bizarre. But the original Psychotog art from Odyssey was, he's Dr. Teeth. And he's a beast. Actually, he's an Atog, but still. So the deck was float a lot of mana.
A lot.
Cast Upheaval to return all permanents to their owner's hands. Recast Psychotog. There wasn't a way to give him a haste back then. So then you'd throw all those cards into the graveyard, you know, keep seven. Next turn you have things like Chainer's Edict, because they're only going to have one land and whatever they can cast with one land.
Yeah, because Upheaval affects your opponent too. Really matters.
It says return all permanents to their owner's hands for 6 mana. So you get up to 9 mana, you go Upheaval, Psychotog, discard down to 7, say go, and Psychotog, you discard a card, he gets +1/+1 until end of turn, and you exile 2 cards from your graveyard, and he gets +1/+1 until end of turn, and you just swing for all the damage.
Yeah.
And that's it. Very simple. But it's
like looking at it, it doesn't look like you would get there, but realistically, you're going to be swinging for enough damage to kill them.
Yeah, it's a heavy control deck. You've got Deep Analysis, Chainer's Edict, Repulse, which is deceptively powerful, Circular Logic, Factor Fiction, Memory Lapse, Counterspell, like original Counterspell. Yeah, this ruled the format, seriously.
This deck is part of the reason why people groan when they hear Factor Fiction.
Like, Randy Bueller says here, players who lived through this era probably recognize the acronym EOTFOFYL, which means end of turn, Factor Fiction, you lose. And this is the one, this deck right here is the 2002 World Championship deck. So, you know, there's that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that is one of the decks you can be playing.
So, yeah. Up next. Next up, we have the Fires of Yavimaya deck.
Clues would like parts of this deck.
Parts, certainly.
I mean, seems like Clues would like most of it. The only blue card is actually half of Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
I have scissors.
So that
Judge, my opponent has marked his card.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, fixed it.
So yeah, this deck, it doesn't look like much, but it's totally much. It's got what was at the time the best creature in Magic, the Flame Tongue Kavu. And this tells you,
sick.
We've talked before about how creatures in Magic were not good back in the day.
Nope.
This is a 4-mana 4/2 who enters the battlefield and deals 4 damage to target creature. That's it. It's a 4/2, and it kills the thing. And this was the best creature in Magic.
Oh, good, though.
And it's still good, but it reprint this now and no one would care. Like,
it would be like, yay, limited.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's the way the deck works is Fires of Yavimaya, which creatures you control have haste, and Blastoderm, which is a 5/5 for 4. Again, creatures weren't good back then, so this card is insane. A 5/5 for 4 with Shroud and Fading 3, which means in 4 turns, it's going to die.
So will your opponent.
Yeah. And Sapperling Burst, which is a stupid enchantment that says you win. It's got Fading 7.
Will not go that long.
Yeah. So it's got Fading 7. You remove a fade counter from it to get a sap. The sap says its creature, its power and toughness are equal to the number of fade counters on Sapperling Burst. And you've got Fires of Yavimaya. So you figure out
have
what's,
a 6/6.
Yeah, you figure out
have what's 2 5/5s.
What's the most power? Well, let's see. That's a 6/6, 2 5/5s, 3 4/4s or 4 3/3s. So it's one of those, right?
Yeah, the 3 4/4s and the 4 3/3s will get you to 12.
Yeah, and there you go. You swing for that because they have haste because Fires of Yavimaya. Huh. And that's the main purpose of the deck. It also had Thornscape Battlemage to blow up artifacts or deal 2 damage to something. It had Chimeric Idol because you don't necessarily need lands anymore, and he becomes a 3/3.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a turtle.
Like, it doesn't, it's one of those that you have to like really, really play and see played by someone who knows what they're doing to get blown away. So yeah, and it uses the haste to get around the drawback of Blastoderm and Sapperling Burst's fading.
Yeah. Extra turn matters.
It's just insane. Like, Zvi Malchowitz actually wrote a really, really deep and in-depth series of articles about the Fires of Yavimaya deck and how to optimize it for whatever the current meta was that he was writing these articles for, as it was called, like, My Fires. And if you want to see some in-depth workings of one of the great players from back then, you should dig that up. I actually used to have it bookmarked a long, long time ago, because even though I didn't play, just reading his reasoning for these things was unreal.
You'll walk away from it feeling like you're better at Magic, and then when you lose, you'll still feel like you're better at Magic.
Yeah.
So that's. I remember reading that as one of the first, like competitive type articles that anyone ever recommended to me too.
Oh, so it's not just me. Nice.
No, it's not just you. Mind you, I also know Mike. So it's possible that it came recommended from him and others.
That is possible. Hmm.
So yeah. We don't have to go in as much depth as we did there for some of the others because they're just kind of obvious.
Yeah.
Like, the next deck is Rebels. What do Rebels do, Chewie?
So Rebels all have the ability to pay some amount of mana and tap this Rebel and go search your library for a Rebel that costs one less than what you paid. So if you pay 4 on Defiant Falcon, tap it, search your library for a Rebel card with converted mana cost 3 or less. Because you paid 4, so you go search something that costs 1 less. But you're always going up in mana cost. So the Defiant Falcon costs 2, but he searches up things that cost 3.
Yeah.
The Ramotion Sergeant costs 1, but you pay 3 to search for something that costs 2. The Sky Marshal costs 5, but you search up something that costs 6 or more.
So you essentially curve out, but not quite on time.
And then you've got Lynn Sivvy, who was banned in, Block Constructed because she completely destroyed the format. And if you'd like to hear more about that, go listen to, the episode of the Mana Pool a couple weeks ago, History of the Banhammer Part 1. In theory, we're recording Part 2 this week, so be on the lookout for that next week.
Ooh.
But anyway, Lynn Sivvy, you pay X and tap her and search for a Rebel with converted mana cost X or less. By the way, these go into play. They go into the battlefield. They don't go into your hand, because that would be terrible.
Yeah.
And you've got your silver bullets. You've got the flyer with its pro red. You've got, first strike with reach and the longbow archer. Steadfast guard, which is 2/2 with vigilance for 2. Stuff like that. You've got Waxen Wane, Chimeric Idol, and Parallax Wave. And Parallax Wave is where it gets stupid. It's the other one with fading, another one of those enchantments with fading, but you remove a fade counter to exile target creature.
Seems good.
And when Parallax Wave goes away, they all come back. So you use it to get the things out of the way, and then you go, and you win.
Yeah.
Wait, you do what now?
You go, and you win.
Oh, okay.
That is actually the sound of tapping all of the rebels at once.
Pretty much, yeah. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. It's kind of sick in that why does the main character of Yu-Gi-Oh always throw his cards in the right order sort of way? Because that's just what the Rebels deck does.
Yeah, totally.
I've seen this in play once, and I'm like, I don't know. No, this is bad. I'm not doing this. So, yeah. And that is one of the things you might run into if you play in this format. You know what else you might run into? Squirrels!
Squirrel Nest! Yeah, so this deck, all you need to know is it runs Squirrel Nest, which is a enchant land.
Dumb enchantment.
That's enchanted land has tap, get a 1/1 squirrel.
So boom. Stupid.
And it's got opposition. It says tap an untapped creature you control to tap target artifact creature or land.
Doesn't that sound like a dumb card? What color do you think that dumb card is in?
Yeah, exactly. It's totally blue.
Yeah.
And yeah, everything else is blue-green. Actually, most of these cards we'll see again in another deck further down that does this. It focuses all right, more on that.
I'm looking in the sideboard of this squirrel deck here. I did not know that the card Bearscape existed.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, dude.
Why did I not know that the card Bearscape existed?
You'd think Judge Cast would have talked about it by now.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Tell them what Bearscape does.
No, no, I want them to look it up. I think they need to go look up Bearscape. You owe it to yourselves.
If for no other reason than
the artwork.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I especially like the bear rubbing his tummy that is the hill to the right. I literally didn't see that one until I said it.
However many bears you think you see, there are two more.
Yeah, there are more bears than you think there are.
It's like a highlights picture. So yeah, squirrels and bears.
Yeah, next up.
Let's not read this deck list.
Okay, wait a minute. Rebels was from... It actually doesn't say where it came from. Kai was able to succeed. Succeed in what? Oh, won the... Okay, this is from Pro Tour Chicago in 2000. Okay. The opposition deck was GP Milwaukee, which was standard. Standard was not the format of choice for Grand Prix back in the day. It says this was actually the first standard GP in 3.5 years. And the most highly attended GP in North American history at the time at 652 people. Magic was a different game.
I want you to think about what we were just reading off on the numbers of Modern earlier.
Yeah. So.
Different then.
Yeah. Also, 4 future Hall of Famers made the top 8 of GP Milwaukee. And Squirrel Opposition came from that. William Jensen, same one, also made the top 8 of GP Milwaukee using this 244 card Battle of Wits deck. That's just 4 of every good card that could possibly help, including in 244 cards, a total of 4 creatures. Guess what? All 4 Flame Tongue Kavu, because it was the best creature.
Something is dead
in Magic that wasn't Morphling.
Yeah, deck would not have wanted a Morphling,
and Morphling wasn't in Standard anymore. I don't think so. That's probably why. But
yeah, but its mana's all over the place.
But yeah, just 4, every tutor, every draw, every counter, every kill spell. This is insane to look at. 4 of 4 different diamonds. Yawgmoth's Agenda. Oh my god. Moving on.
Yeah. Speaking of not as complicated mana bases.
Mono Black Control. This is the deck that Justin Gary used to make the U.S. national team in 2003. And Mono Black Control back here, this was nuts. It's running all of the things that count swamps. Mind Sludge and Mutilate and Corrupt. Mind Sludge, target player discards a card for each swamp you control. Mutilate, all creatures get -1/-1 until end of turn for each swamp you control. Corrupt domes your opponent for the amount of swamps that you have. Oh, target creature or player. But let's be honest, it's probably player. And you gain that much life. And everything else was just good stuff.
Cabal Coffers, why?
Yeah, Cabal Coffers. Riptide Replicator. The Mirari, because he's running 22 sorceries and 6 instants, so Mirari. Undead Gladiator, because he was the original zombie dude who never dies. And Visara the Dreadful. It's just, this was one of the boogeymen when I first started playing Magic.
You guys remember when we would say things like murder and card advantage?
Yeah.
There's a bit of that here.
That's all that's here.
Good times.
So next up, Daniel Zink won Worlds in 2003 with this Mirari's Wake deck. And it's Mirari's Wake that gives your creatures +1/+1. And doubles your, well, gives you an additional mana for every land you tap. So it's a mana flare for just you and a Glorious Anthem in one card. And it won with Decree of Justice. That's really all you need to know is Decree of Justice. To make lots and lots and lots and lots of angels and murder your face.
This is back when you had to slam your doors the honest way.
Yeah, everything else is just blue, white, it's Bant Control. Some cycling and card draw. Hey, Renewed Faith, that was just reprinted. Circular Logic, Cunning Wish. Oh god, the wishes. Oh god, the wishes! There's Exalted Angel. There she is. She's in the board. I was about to say, wait, this is when Exalted Angel ruled the world. Yeah, there she is. She's in the board. Yeah, this deck was also stupid. Let's move on.
Hey, Crocin Verge.
Crocin Verge was insane at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Anurid Brushhopper. Just read that real quick. This thing was a powerhouse, and it's so stupid by today's standards. It's a 3/4 for 3. You could discard 2 cards from your hand to blink it out until end of turn. You had to discard 2 cards to blink it, but it didn't cost mana to do that, and it would never die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now let's get Clues in on this. Hey, Clues.
Yeah.
What's your favorite creature type?
That would be Goblin.
Okay. So I think I asked you this in the odds and ends. What if you could play all your goblins and have them do stupid things and then die and then pay 5 mana.
Yeah.
Get them all back with haste and murder your opponent.
So a couple of things. First of all, goblins are want to die fairly easily. They are kind of
special. It is our way.
Secondly, my only complaint about this deck is that 5 mana that I have to pay, 2 of it's got to be black. Not a big fan of that, but the creature base here is like 2/3 of Legacy Goblins. It's great.
If you like playing Legacy Goblins and you don't like playing Legacy Blue as an opponent, so.
Yeah, dude, like Legacy Goblins would not exist without Onslaught Block. And
No, God, no.
We've got the Goblin Pile Driver that was the scourge of Standard. We've got...
That card has the 3 most beautiful words in all of Magic on it.
Draw a card. No, wait. Those are the magic words.
No.
What are the 3 most...
Protection from blue.
Yup. You've got Sparksmith and Jim Palm Incinerator that, kill things on the other side of the board. You've got your Goblin Sharpshooter, which goes bing da ding whenever a goblin dies, and goblins die. That's what they do.
Yep, stack those triggers, baby.
You've got your Goblin War Chief to make them all cheaper and give them all haste. Your Siege Gang Commander. And then other stuff just because you need more goblins. Goblin Grappler, Goblin Slitter, Goblin Taskmaster, and Skirk Prospector. Sack a goblin to add a red to your mana pool. That's important.
Hey, when you do that, use that trigger on your Sharpshooter for funsies.
Yeah. And then when they all die, and I mean, this deck is 32 goblins, 3 copies of Smother, and 3 copies of Patriarch's Bidding, because you don't need anything else. Patriarch's Bidding, in case you don't know, each player chooses a creature type. Each player returns all creature cards of a type chosen this way from graveyard to the battlefield. So you choose goblins, clearly. And then, they all have haste because one of those goblins is a war chief. And then you attack.
It's a beautiful thing.
And because one of them is also a pile driver, they're all attacking and there's a giant pile driver.
A giant pile driver.
So yeah, just for funsies. This was the boogeyman for a very long time.
It's why people were afraid of goblins.
Yeah.
Now it's mostly the smell.
Takes me back. Actually, we're at the point now where all of these are going to take me back.
Yeah, because the next one is too.
So where did this Goblin Bidding deck... Yeah, this didn't come from any sort of single tournament because this was...
It was in all of them?
Yeah, this was the format. Yeah. This is insane. Then we've got Blue Green Madness. Yeah.
Root Wallop.
Yeah, this uses, it uses Madness of Basking Rootwalla. Well, it uses Wild Mongrel to discard cards for free to pump up your Wild Mongrel. You discard things like Basking Rootwalla that has a Madness cost of 0, your Arrogant Worm that's a 4/4 with Trample that has a Madness cost of 3. Oh, also Aquamoeba, a 1/3 discarded card to switch its power and toughness.
Yeah.
You discard cards for free, stupid things happen. And then it's got Wonder. As long as it's in the graveyard and you control an island, your creatures all have flying.
Wonder was amazing.
Yeah. And the rest of the deck is just digging, Merfolk Looter, and Deep Analysis, Careful Study, Circular Logic, Unsummon, because sometimes there's a thing in the way, and then Roar of the Worm, because you could flash it back for... It gives you a 6/6 worm, you could flash it back for 4. So you discard it to your Wild Mongrel, and then you flash it back for 4!
Like, Madness is the closest, you know, Standard got to ridiculous turn 1 affinity plays, right? Outside of affinity.
At this time, yeah.
Yeah. Like, there were plenty of those, like, magical Christmas land scenarios where someone's like, and then I dump all my hand on, like, turn two. And then the other guy's like, it took you two turns to do what?
Well, no, this deck.
Like, not this one, but, like, the Madness mechanic. Yeah, the Madness mechanic enabled a lot of nonsense. It was part of that school of, and then we make it really cheap and see what happens, and it turns out it's good.
Yeah. Like, you go turn two, Wild Mongrel, end of your turn, Basking Root Walla, my turn, Arrogant Worm. And your opponent just looks at you. What?
Yeah.
I just swing for a lot. Yeah.
I take a lot.
And then the final deck here in this gauntlet, throwback gauntlet, is Gabe Walls. He top aided the U.S. Nationals and Worlds in 2003 with decks based around Astral Slide. Astral Slide. So that, yeah, this is the two color version from Worlds. Astral Slide says, it's an enchantment. When a player cycles a card. When a player cycles a card. I had forgotten about that. Wow. Oh god. So when anyone cycles a card, you, for no mana, can exile a creature and it'll come back at the end of turn. For no mana. For no mana!
Yeah.
And then there's Lightning Rift. When anyone cycles a card, you can pay one to deal two damage to something. Yeah. And it's running Spark Spray and Renewed Faith and Decree of Justice and Slice and Dice to, cycle things. Oh, also Eternal Dragon. Oh god, Eternal. Oh god. Oh god, Nightmares. I'd forgotten. Guys, I'd forgotten. Eternal Dragon had plane cycling for two, so you could discard it for two and go get a planes.
Seems fine.
Yeah, and then for...
not hurting anyone.
For five mana during your upkeep, you could bring it from graveyard to hand. Which sounds, again, by today's standards, that sounds kind of stupid. But at the time...
cost seven.
Yeah, at the time, it was a thing that would come back to your hand every turn so that you could trigger your two slides and your two rifts. It also had Exalted Angel, because Exalted Angel was one of the most ridiculous creatures ever.
4/5, flying and lifelink. You could play it morph if you want to, but everyone knew what it was.
Yeah, you played it for 3 mana as a morph creature, and then you flipped it up on turn 4 to go 4/5 flyer, lifelink. Not lifelink, spirit link.
Spirit link, yeah.
Yeah.
Triggered.
So, yeah.
So, this is a format you can play for the next week. And if you'd like to play some Magic History, this is probably going to be one of the more fun options you're going to get.
Yeah, these aren't, like, stupid and broken and awful like Combo Winter. Not even close. But these are still very powerful and a trip to play.
These are the things that, like, the modern Masters limited run sets wish they could be. Because you're going to get a functioning deck that is an archetype of historic Magic.
Yeah.
Without all the weird nonsense thrown in that makes it impossible to really do with paper.
Yeah. It's this is where a lot of the people who are now Hall of Famers either made their mark or continued making their mark.
Yeah. If you spend time around, you know, veteran Magic players, and by spend time around them, I mean everything from listening to them talk on podcasts, or if you just, you know, talk to them at tournaments and stuff, when they start, like, you know, looking back on the good old days, this is the time period that they're usually romanticizing.
Yeah. And all of these, well, a good number of these decks were the, you know, the Mardu vehicles and the Temur Aetherworks. They got all the hate. People hated Psychotog. People hated Squirrel Opposition. People hated Mono Black Control. People really hated Astral Slide. Like...
Yeah.
But other people desperately love them. So it's just like today. It's just like today.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. So that's going on for a week. Go check it out. The link in the show notes will tell you where to find these in Magic Online, the ticket costs, and all that fun. So go for it.
Yeah.
And with that, we've rambled long enough.
We have. I'm going to go get me a big vanilla tat. So how about some wrap-up stuff there, gentlemen?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because it's probably out getting a sweet vanilla tat right now. I will disown it when it gets back because ew. And that said, if you were around at Animazement, I had a lot of fun. It was a good convention. It's one that I've been going to for a long time. I got to run a few panels because I was there long enough to be in both of the retro history panels. So that was great. I don't really have any immediate conventions coming up to find me at. Like, I'm not going to anything in the immediate future, but, you know, come the fall, I'll do Dragon Con and Cosplay America and all that stuff. But for now, just, I had a lot of fun with it. I am looking forward to seeing Wonder Woman this weekend. So I hope it doesn't suck.
Whoa, is that this weekend?
Yeah, it dude. Is.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm kind of annoyed that one of the theaters I normally go to only has one showing on Thursday because that offends me.
Lame.
I'm going to go to a different theater because I'm still going to see it on Thursday.
Neener, neener.
Yeah. So that'll be that for me. Other than that, just continue to watch me wander into Chewy stream as we play through Overwatch nonsense for the next few weeks. And hand over to Clues.
All right. Hey, if you would like to hear more out of me, guess what, folks? We are recording a new episode of Card Advantage this very week.
A new episode of what?
Random Discard. I'm sorry. I fell into old habits. It's been so long since I recorded.
Are you going to talk about Extended?
We're going to totally talk about Extended. And no, we're not going to talk about Extended. Why would we do that? Nonsense. Insanity. But yeah, Rich and I are going to be back at it starting this week. So look for a new episode of Random Discard showing up right here on the MTGcast Network and our own website as well. But there it is. If you would like to contact me directly, your best bet is the Twitters. I am at LockLuzé, spelled just like it is in ye olde show notes.
Nice.
Maybe even the new show notes too. Who knows?
Probably not though.
No.
Yeah. Also, you can find me on Twitter at the Mana Pool. Basically anywhere on the internet, I am the Mana Pool. There's, YouTube where I haven't had time to do terribly much. Been Injustice, Shovel Knight, the two podcasts and the weekly Tavern Brawl. There you go. That's what's been going on recently on YouTube. I've got to get another Magic Duels episode up and more Rogue Legacy in the near future. Yeah, that's going to be the plan very soon. But because of the driving and the weekend family plans and all that, I haven't really had very much time to get much of that done. Over on Twitch, I'm twitch.tv/themanapool where I've been playing stuff. Yesterday we did a no Monday Night Magic Overwatch stream because there's an Overwatch event, so we have to play Overwatch. That's pretty much how that works. I really want to start streaming more stuff, but that is a discussion for a future time. Not far future, but not this week future. But don't worry, I'm streaming hopefully a little more frequently and hopefully not just Overwatch very soon. So yay. Cause I really love streaming like the weird indie games and stuff like that and things that would be hard to turn into YouTube videos. Cause that's a lot of fun. So come hang out. I will almost certainly be streaming on Wednesday night if you're listening to this on, Wednesday. Yeah. Where else am I? Twitch, YouTube, Twitter. Yeah, those are the important ones as far as this and themanapool.com if you want to listen to the Manapool podcast. Like I said, hopefully we'll be doing History of the Banhammer Part 2 this week, if Chris Lansdale knows days of the week. We were going to do it last week, and he's like, right, Thursday? No. Damn. So that's that. Also, I had an also, guys. I had an also.
Patreon.
Yes.
Yes. For those of you, while I have had time to work when I'm not driving and doing the family thing this weekend and all that, I have been getting slowly, but not slowly, caught up on the odds and ends because I have fallen way further behind on the odds and ends than I would like. Like way further. So in the last, I think, week, I have put up 7 odds and ends. Which odds and ends, that's all of the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool. That's uncensored and unfiltered, and it's us talking about other hobbies and personal lives and family stuff and what has been going on today and this week and that sort of thing. The stuff that we don't really do much on the podcasts because they're irrelevant to the topic at hand for the most part.
That's where we'll talk about the movies we've seen lately, the shows we're watching. They were talking about Sword Art Online and something else earlier while I was throwing clothes in the washer before this show. So there you go.
Yeah, we did.
That sort of thing. And good Lord, don't get us started on comic book movies, TV shows, cartoons, or video games.
Comic book storylines from the 90s. We'll rant about that too.
Oh God, for hours. It's terrible.
Oh yeah.
We have.
Literally, yeah. So if you are one of the Odds and Ends patrons, hey, I am focusing hard on those. So you've got a bunch of that coming up soon. And if you're not, it's a good time to jump on because I will be throwing lots of those out over the next several weeks. The hope is to be caught up within a month. Just every time I have time instead of like, oh, okay, I guess I've got, you know, a couple hours like before bed. I'll sit here and play Hearthstone and go to bed or sit here and play Heroes of the Storm and go to bed. Nope, I'm going to work on Odds and Ends and then go to bed. So, because I've let myself get way too far behind. Because being a one-man show here, not the podcast, but, you know, Manapool Productions as a business, it's a one-man show. I do everything, and it's really, really a massive balancing act. Because I have to keep YouTube content going up. I have to make sure the podcasts go out every week. You know, I really need to stream once a week or two, once or twice a week, just to keep up a presence on all of these platforms. And things fall through the cracks, and I'm trying real hard to make sure that's not the Odds and Ends that's going out to the paying customers, as it were. So I'm so sorry for being so far behind, but that's the main focus right now. So yay! That's patreon.com/themanipool. If you like, you can get Manipool episodes and YouTube videos early. You can get the Odds and Ends, and if you're really feeling it, you can get your name on the end slate for every video that goes up in each month that you support me at that tier. And every little bit helps, and I really do appreciate it. We're relatively close to the next tier, the goal, whatever, as it were, where I'm going to upgrade my internet and my computer to try to be able to do more things to make things easier. Because right now I spend a lot of time on hard drive maintenance. Like, oh God, I'm running out of space. I have to go delete all this crap and move this over here. And all my backup drive's getting full. And all of that actually takes way longer than I'd like. So there you go. And I forgot what I was going to lead that into. So whatever. That's patreon.com/themanipool. And I appreciate it. Now, if you want to help support magic podcasting in general, but not me specifically, that's perfectly understandable. What you can do is go to mtgcast.com. Click on support mtgcast. You can sign up there for a small monthly donation because while MTGcast is completely free to all of you listening and it's completely free to all of us podcasters to use, it is not actually completely free and costs a lot of money. So I'm sure they appreciate it. Yay.
Woo.
So with that, all that's left is to thank Clues and Squee for joining me on this Tuesday night.
Wee.
Of course.
Wow, it's the second Tuesday night magic in a row. Let's not make a habit of this.
No.
Good. This has been Monday Night Magic, even though it's Tuesday, number 562. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.